Is that my water? No, that's yours.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Now, I had to think this morning that we're part of the feeling here, because you were here yesterday. And I made a comment when we got here this morning to the brethren. I said, it's well organized, and you guys are tired this morning, I can tell. I'm kind of tired too. But you know, the body kind of wears down, but our spirit is excited. Thank you, Jonathan, for those said last song. Wow. I didn't go talk about it much right now. It'll break my heart. It just never gets old. That's precious blood. I had a verse here. I wanted to read it for Job. From Job, I want to read it to Jay. I had to think, you know, Jay, what you shared this morning. I think the one of the first times that I had revival meetings here when Brother Gary was here. I think that's one of the first times you came to church here. And I remember that. You came to the altar and you shared some things afterwards. You let the songs, I believe, and you shared, and it just blessed me so much. And I've seen you growing in the Lord, and the Lord gets all the credit. But this is what I thought about when you were sharing this morning. That's part of leadership. When you step out, somebody else is going to show up, and that's Satan. And I know what it's like. I faced it for years. And I know the leaders here probably talk about it too. And it says in verse 6 in Job 1, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And guess who came along? Satan went with them. How can we get rid of him? That's why we need the full armor of God every day. You know, he's going to show up. It's just how it is. I mean, he keeps his distance. But he likes to throw a wrench in the gears. And that's just how he works. And the day will come that he will be bound. And that's when we're totally free. We're free now. But still, he shows up. I don't understand it. I wish I could explain it better. But that's how it is. My message this morning, I was thinking about it all week. It's for me, first of all. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. And I thought before we get to that, I got a little saying here. Does anybody here have any problem with speeding? Don't raise your hand, you know. It's a bad place to lie in church, you know. I want to talk a little bit about the church this morning, but I have a speed limit here thing. Maybe I read it here before, but you probably didn't remember what it was, so I'm going to read it again. If you go 45 miles an hour, they put songs behind these speed limits, you know. God will take care of you. That's 45. By the way, I've learned that the southern cops, state police, I respect them, but they like to set a trap right when it changes to 45. And it got me twice. And only had to pay once. And I got so nerved up when I handed my license, I handed my credit card. I was about ready to go back to Pennsylvania. But he was good about it. I think it's my truck, that redneck truck I drive, I think is what it is. And Donnie told me yesterday, he was looking at my truck sitting out in the parking lot. He says, he's wondering whose redneck truck that was. That was actually Tommy's dad. So it was me. Anyhow, if you go 55, it says, guide me, O great, thou great Jehovah, 55. When you drive 65 miles an hour, it says, nearer, my God, to thee. 75 miles an hour, nearer, still nearer. How about 85 miles an hour? The world is not my home. When you're driving 95 miles an hour, Lord, I'm coming home. 100 mile an hour, precious memories. So slow down. Unless you want to go home real fast, you know. Oh, there's one more. There's a couple more. I thought they were pretty interesting. I'll get started here. There's one on the IRS. I surrender all. And there's also one on gossip. Anybody gossip here? Don't raise your hand. It says pass it on. Just pass it on. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. I want to turn to that. This is a lot is related to the church here, this chapter. And I took the message from verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, this morning, I thought about how precious it is to be here, to worship with you guys, and I enjoyed my day yesterday very much, and just to see how things were organized and how it got cleaned up yesterday. And you'd have probably thought, well, today we have to go to church. You realize the church was here yesterday. You know what they call this place? They call it a church house. The church building. That's what it is. They're housing the church. The church is here. Then when we all leave, then this is only a building. That's all it is. So who is the church? The church is within you. And the church was here yesterday. Absolutely. It was an auction, fundraiser for the school, the generations to come. And that was great. But the church was here. You let your light shine yesterday for Christ. And he's glorified through that. Satan likes to tear things up, but Jesus always picks up the pieces. That's the way it works. Always has. I'm going to read the whole chapter and make comments as I go. And I'm not pointing out any fingers at anyone. It's a message that I needed for myself. And it kept coming back to me all week. When I told, he asked me in that little office in there this morning when I got here, you know what I'm talking about. And I told him, one of the brethren, one of the ministers says he must have been talking to my wife. So I ain't going to mention any names. So anyhow, verse 5, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as your children. What do we want the children to do? To follow their parents. Behave yourself. Remember whose child you are. I got grandchildren now. Mine are all grown and married off. Got grandchildren long. It says, walk in love. And many times walk is showed up in this chapter. It's a word of action. It's a word that you're moving, that you continue to keep on going. Walk. Walk. Like we exercise, a lot of people exercise, they walk, they have movement. It says, walk in it. Walk in love. Don't just say it, but do something about it. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And here are some of the things. When you get to 5, I mean, the verses, I think it's around 20. It's 22. It says the marriage is a symbolic of the church. These are things that you get ready before you get married. These are some things that you get rid of before you get married. These are some things that you take care of before you belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. Not so much that we're thinking about maybe denominations or anything, but it's a change of heart. There are things that I think it's good to remind us. It's good to remind myself once in a while just that the Bible says it very clear that I was born altogether in sin. That's who I was. And so were you, them beautiful little babies, such a blessing. And it's fun to hold a baby. We got a little grandson, Scott and Grace have a little grandson. They have a son right now, but it's our youngest grandchild. And we love them all. But that little guy, he's just a blessing. But you know, the Bible says that we were born all together in sin. Can you comprehend that? I really can't. As sweet as they are, but they need teaching, they need training. And here are some of the things that you need to, when you come to that age of accountability, that you need to get a hold of. It says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be once named among you as becoming saints. Now, what's a saint? The Bible talks about saints. Those are people that their sins are forgiven, the people that have been set free by the precious blood of Jesus. Verse 4, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now what is that filthiness? That could also be in the tongue. Filthy talk, dirty jokes. I mean, these are some things that we need to get cleaned up on before that Christ will call us his bride. And it says in joking or talking, foolish talking, maybe lies involved, gray lies. There is no such thing, but anyhow, a lot of people talk about it. It wasn't really a lie, it's just kind of gray. Nor jesting means, I think if I looked at that word one time, it's like joking or making fun of people. Maybe someone that's not quite like you. Maybe someone that stutters. I had a brother, and I often think about that. I had a brother. Now, I might have shared that here before, but that always bothered me growing up. He'd be about 61 years old now. He's some younger than I am. And there's another brother between us. But I remember as a little boy on, he stuttered. He talked real fast. And people made fun of him. You know, when he started going with the young people, they were starting making fun of him. His name was Emmanuel. It is Emmanuel. And we called his name, which for short, we called him Moni. And, you know, then they would say, hey, how you doing, Moni? You know, it's just all the time. That's how he grew up. And that's just not long ago. Somebody asked me, when's the last time you seen your brother? Then you stuttered to make fun of him. 60-some years that he lived with that. And, you know, I saw him. The old saying was, you know, growing up Amish, there's some of them old wives' fables. Like if you stutter, it was said that if you drink out of a cow or a horse trough, you know, where he's slobbering and stuff, if you drink out of that, it will set you free from stuttering. I saw my brother take a double handful of water, that slobber, and he drank it. Because he wanted to quit stuttering. Because he was made fun of. That's exactly what this verse says. You know what? We think it's sin about some of these other things that are laid out, what we call sin. We probably don't realize how sinful some of these things are, how we treat people. We probably don't realize because we were not taught against it. We can make fun, we can make jokes about people, but they cannot help it. I know he didn't want to do that. And there's other things too, and I'm sure that you can relate to some of the things. Maybe someone in your family that's different that was laughed at. It hurts, don't it? I just challenge you not to do it. If you do it, get victory. Total victory, because it's going to show up in a day of judgment. You'll knock on your door. You won't get away with it. Now's the time to repent from them things. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, has any eternal has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's very clear. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. See what God thinks about that stuff? All right up through there. He starts you out, the first six verses, he starts you out, be ye followers of God as your children. And he'll tell us in verse 5, in verse 6, what God thinks of it. The wrath is going to come upon it. That proves that we were born altogether in sin because of our nature, that it needs to be changed. And it can be. That's a blessing of Christ. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't even partake with those people. That's not only talking about communion services. That's not only talking about, it's not talking about only like maybe eating in your house. I don't think that's talking about that. I was raised like a shunning was a big thing. You know, if somebody didn't agree with you, then you ought to eat with them and punish them for it. But you know what I think it means? I think if somebody has a dirty joke, that you sit there and laugh about it. You partakers with them. Maybe you don't tell them, but you think it's funny. Verse 8 it says, for yea sometimes in darkness. For yea were sometimes darkness, but now ye are in the light. Light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Verse 9. What is the fruit I love this verse here. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. There's more fruit of the Spirit. But I love this one here. It says, what is it? This is some of the fruit that's going to come out by practicing Christ's love in our heart. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. No lie in that. Verse 10, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Prove it. That simply means have faith and follow after. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There's a young man. It's in South Carolina. I'm not going to mention it. I guess it wouldn't hurt to mention. Name is I call him Junior Wingert. And I know when I first moved to Pennsylvania, I worked for Sam Mass. I think he's your overseer here. I used to work for him, and his name is Irvin, but to me it's Junior Wingert. And we worked together. And he was raised different than I was, and I said some things and did some things, and I was a little rough around the edges, you know. But, you know, Junior always told me, he said, yeah, but that's not right. But, you know, I couldn't get rid of him. He sort of liked me. And he made a big impression in my young life. But he would rebuke, like, that's not right. Yeah, but I know Sam, but it's not right. And I learned a lot through that. And too often, you know, we want to shut the door in people's faces and say, if you want to act like that, I want nothing to do with you. Well, he still wanted something to do with me. He was a very kind guy. And he still is. He's still one of my best friends. Good brother. Because we go way back. Verse 12, it says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are improved, that are reproved, are made manifest. They're brought to the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. You bring it to the top. You get a light and shine on dark place. You know, it lights it up. That's basically who Christ is. He will light it up. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There's a lot of people, I think, today that are, they're actually dead in the spirit, but they're well alive, walking around. But I think that's what he's talking about. You're dead in the spirit. You need to wake up, realizing there's a judgment coming. See then that ye walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Why? It says we're redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're talking a little bit in Sunday school. The difference, you know, what would it be like if we had a different president? You know, we don't know that. We don't know that. But I challenge you this morning for all of you as Christians, which I believe you spend time in prayer, pray for a president. Amen? Let's pray for our president. He needs us. He needs our prayers. We should do it. We should pray for them every day. Not try to, because he's in a hard place. And I believe God is working through the president. It says he is. Every one of them is ordained by him. He knows who is there. He knows our president. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can we understand what God's will is? I thought about this verse too. I said, you know, how can we understand? What is God's will for our lives? Is it my will or is it God's will? What is God's will? You need to seek God. If you seek, you shall find him. How do you find him? You find him in his word. You find him in God's word is where you find God. You find him as you pray, as you look at God's word, read it, make it your best friend, not a dust collector. Just get take time, and also it'll build your families. Someone has said one time, the Bible that's falling apart means that your family is not. That means it's been used. It's been got some pages torn. It's been used. Got wear. And that means your family. It's not falling apart. God's word is the only thing we have. You just probably don't use it as much as we should. I know I'm guilty of that. It says we shouldn't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Not some here while I teach a Sunday school class in Fair Play there, and young people. And here a while back, I asked them, I said, do you know how to get the Spirit? And nobody seemed to really know. And for years, I didn't realize it either. You know how simple it is? It says a father, which is evil, knows how to give good gifts to their children. It says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How simple can it be? Do you ask for things? It says, we have not because we don't ask. Father, I need more of your Spirit. This morning we welcome the Spirit. We know God was here. So I'm just simple. I believe what I read, I believe it. I believe it's truth. If the Bible says you should ask for it, you need wisdom, how do you get it? You don't get it in school. You get knowledge in school, but God says wisdom, you have to ask for it, and he will give it to you. You have to ask. Just simply say, God, give me wisdom. I need it. He already knows that, but he wants you to ask. So, what would this do, verse 19? Speaking to yourselves in hymns, in psalms, and in hymns. And spiritual songs, hey, we're singing this morning. Making melody in your heart. To where? To the Lord. We hear a lot of people talk about how their mamas, they heard mama, you know, hum songs and singing songs growing up. My mom didn't sing much, but she used to spend time in the garden. She loved that. I don't know if she could sing pretty good, but I never heard her sing much. Some people say they did. And it says in verse 20, maybe you wonder sometimes, this is the verse, maybe you wonder sometimes why we finish our prayers in Jesus' name. The reason I do is because of this verse. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I thank God, I finish my prayers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you do too. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. How do you do that? You know, and I used to think, you know, when I started in verse 21 and 20 in here somewhere, like on this is used a lot in marriages, like in weddings. I was thinking right away this talking about husband and wife or a young couple getting married. It may be and it may not be. But I think it's simply talking about the people that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That we was reading about the do's and don'ts from chapter 5, 1 all the way up to here. It's simply saying that we need each other. I really believe that. I really believe that it's telling us that we need each other, just like I saw this morning. When the brother was broken and he felt condemned of what he said or what he didn't, what he said yesterday, and there's brethren prayed for him. That is what it's talking about. I really believe that. Instead of chopping each other down, we lift each other up. Life is rough sometimes, especially when the enemy shows up. Sometimes we just need to reach down and lift each other up and be an encourager. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, it says, it's where it starts, and marriage is a symbolic of the church. I don't know, I was thinking, I just looking through here. I don't know when, how often, what do you think about how important that your relationship is at home. The church is not only on Sunday, it's 7 days a week, the new dispensation. If you study that, church is not, it's every day. Because we are the bride of Christ, not only on Sunday, people, every day. We are his bride, every day. Do you remember what you promised each other? He says, well, we're not here, there's no wedding here today, but I thought it was a challenge. It's to me, first of all. These are some of the vows I use. I've married a lot of people in my time, and not as many as some, but probably more than others. In the presence of God and these witnesses, Will you take your wife to be your wedded wife that's sitting beside you? Think about these words. Will you cherish her, provide for her in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity? Exercise patience. Now that's a tough one. I read this over many years and used a lot of these vows, and it says exercise. You know, if we go to a gym and we exercise, think about it. I mean, if you're not sweating, get your heart rate up, it's not doing a whole lot for you. So that's the way you're supposed to have patience. You're promised that you would have patience with your wife. Exercise patience. It says kindness and forbearance toward her. And live in peace as becomes a faithful husband. Do you forsake all others and keep only yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live? You know, and I think a lot of times when a young couple gets married, they don't even really notice the words. They just want to get it done. There's so much hustle and bustle, but I tell you what, there's a lot of secret things happen there. You know, with those promises. You know, if you think back at Job, you remember when Job lost his family? You remember when Job lost all his cattle? You remember when Job lost everything that he had? But why didn't his wife get killed? This is my opinion, and I believe it. When God told Satan, you cannot take Job's life, he never mentioned his wife that I can find. But the oneness, because there were two people at one time, they became one. Now you're one flesh. I don't believe that Satan had any rights to Job's wife. But he killed all seven people. All seven children were killed. Everything that he had, he destroyed. Then Satan had an idea. He said, now you listen to this, Mom and Dad. This is how tricky Satan is. Satan came back and he told God, if you mess with Job's health, he will curse you in your face. And Satan had a plan. He got boils on the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Job did. You remember what his wife told him? He says, where is your integrity? Where is it? Women, you see how strong you are? How strong you can be? For the wrong reason? She said, look at yourself. What a mess. These are some of my words. He says, why don't you curse God and die? Those words were right out of Satan's mouth into her heart. I really believe that. He was going to use Job's wife to destroy Job. And Job rebuked her. He says, you speak like some of the foolish women. I brought nothing in this world. I came naked. There's no promise I will take anything out of here. That always bothered me, and I tell you, God, I know he laid this on my heart. With the vows. That how serious people, that a relationship is between husband and wife. When two people become one flesh. It is more than just promising that I do. It is a lifestyle. It is a commitment. Because God looks down and he sees a future. He sees a future for your children. He sees a future for your grandchildren that is practiced in your home. Everyday church. And Jesus calls it his bride. Isn't that amazing? Are you glad to be part of that church? I am. I'm forgiven. And I'm part of that church. If you're not happy this morning, I'm going to give you time this morning I'll pray for you. I mean, this is serious business. A lot of times in my experience, the church gets blamed for a lot of things, like worship on Sundays. You know what we're doing? We're bringing our homes, our different backgrounds, we're bringing into one body. And here we are. Then how do we deal with it? We even go back a little further, just like my wife Martha and myself. I can use us. We grew up in a completely different environment. We come together, we became one flesh. Was it always easy? No. But it works. It's what God brought us together. It's a challenge sometimes, because we grew up different. Then we look at the whole church that comes together. Some grew up in the north, snow country. Some grew up in the south. And we come together in one body. And Jesus forgives us, sets us free, and he calls us his bride. That's the church. It's amazing. And it says here, we promised also that we forsaking all others. Job's been on my mind this week, and you remember them seven guys? Three guys came and sat with Job. What was it, 7 days? I haven't read the whole story lately, but I used to be in Job quite often. And they were just sitting there for many days, not saying a word of silence. He was in so much pain. He actually took a stone and he sharpened it like razor sharp, and he scraped his body to get that in boils, open them up, because under pressure. We think it's bad if we get one boil. He has had him top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He sat in ashes. His brethren came and he sat there. His friends, three friends. After a while, they started asking questions. What did you do, Job? Because if somebody suffers like that, usually they committed a sin. And actually even accused him for flirting with other women. That's all the way over in chapter 31. They were trying to figure out why God has done that to him. God allowed it. But Satan, that's just a picture of Satan, what he wants to do to you and I and to your family. That is the picture of how evil he is. You need Jesus to cover you every day. Not just on Sunday. Job went back and he rebuked his friends and he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I even think of a maid? Because he had a wife. Always like that. Then it goes over. Matthew picked that up. The book of Matthew chapter 5. You realize how serious it is, guys? Once you made a commitment to your wife, to even look away from, look at other women, this is plain talk, but it's in the Bible. This is not a commentary. This is the God's word. Jesus told us, he says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It'll be against us in judgment, people. That's what Paul was trying to teach us from verse 1. Walk. Walk. As dear children. Walk in it. That means practice every day, step. You have no rights. We have absolutely no rights. Once we have a wife, we have no rights to look away. In the presence of God and these witnesses, yeah, there's the one here. Okay. Will you take your husband? Will you love and cherish him in health and sickness, in prosperity and adversity? Share with him the joys and sorrows of life. Same thing, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward him. Live in peace as become a faithful husband, a faithful wife. Do you forsake all others and keep yourself only unto him as long as he both shall live? Along with that, it may be a little different than men on some of the things, but I believe this way. Again, I tell you, I'm old-fashioned, but you read them little books where there's a world out there with nothing but flowers and all beauty, beauty, beauty. I guarantee you, it will wreck your home. It's just the way it is. It is not a fantasy world. The husband and wife relationship is a world where you're going to get dirty, and we need to clean up. It's just the way it is. And just like, and also the husbands are not perfect. They make mistakes. They say that, I'm not sure which side my brain's on, but there's guys that study that. I'm not up on it, but man has on one side. Is that right? Just one side. So we're empty on the one side. One side or the other, we're empty. Maybe it's right in the middle, but there's some room here. But it says a woman has brains on both sides, you know. But I tell you what, it's fine. God has made you that way. But a guy was there yesterday at my place. I do lawnmower repair. And he said that he took his lawnmower to another place. And he told him what it would cost him to fix it. He bought it real cheap online. And it's a zero turn. And so I don't know if his wife didn't think he should buy it or not. But anyhow, he was... He just got it found out here a while back. It will cost $2,400 to fix the one side that's not working right, the zero turn. And he said, they want to fix both sides. He says, I might as well go buy a new one. He says, that's not the worst of it. He says, my wife just can't let it go, the mistake I made. He was just getting a little frustrated. So women, you know, take it easy, all right? Because sometimes men don't make the right decision. We think it is, but... Be careful with them. I mean, you can tear us down. I mean, you can make us crawl. I mean, we need encouragement. But do what you want. I mean, but it ain't going to work. And he said, well, how are you dealing with it? Well, I'm not going to say what he said, but he put his hand out and he said, this is what I feel like doing. And he went like, this is what I feel like. Your wife? He said, let's read on here real quick, like. We got verses for that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husbands in everything. We have responsibility. See, when I think about these verses, I think about eternity. I think about the day that we will stand before God with this chapter and how we treated each other out of respect, whatever. But I think, you know, get this, and unless I forget, if you did fail, and I have, don't stay down. This is not a ball game. You don't strike out, you get back up. I believe that's a Christian life. When you do fail, you're sorry, and you get back up, and you try again. Ask God to lead you on. Guide your way. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How? That he might sanctify it. What sanctification mean? It simply means set apart for service. And cleanse it. With the washing of the water. Water is a type of cleansing, you know that. You probably used some water this morning. How? By the Word. The Word of God is what we have. It will clean you up. I'll guarantee it. You don't need no soap. It will clean your heart. It will shine. And you cannot hide it. God's Word will fix you up. That he might present it to himself. See, what Jesus wants us to change, he wants us. He bought us. He wants us for himself. He says, present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then it goes on, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. How do you love yourself, guys? You take good care of yourself. If you have a pain, you need a Band-Aid. If you have a headache, you take a pill. You know, if your toe hurts, you got a limp, you can go to a doctor, whatever. I mean, how do you take care of your body? The way it is, you should love your wife. You should notice those things if she needs something. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's very simple. There's some of the things that you will never change in your wife, guys. Very simple. Some of the things that my wife wasn't taught, I was taught. But the big thing is to accept each other for who we are. And I think that's probably a lifetime commitment. We're different. God has made us different. I'll just stop right there for a little bit, a little story that I remembered when I was studying for this, looking this over. Mine went back to the farm. You know, we had raised two boys and two girls. And I remember one night, one evening, almost chore time, we was picking up hay, and I had a little girl on the tractor, and if I can help it, I won't mention any names. They were so young, she might not even remember it, but she's here this morning. And she was sitting in the tractor with me, and we were coming down along the side to get the outside row picked up at last, like along the wood line. All of a sudden, she said, "Hey, look at the beautiful flowers. Let's move pick it for the mama. Let's pick some up for mama along the fence row." And I looked at my watch and I said, "Hey, it's almost 5 o'clock. That's when we milk." I says, "We just don't have time." We kept right on going. She never said a word. And milking time that night, about 5 o'clock, I was milking. All of a sudden, once the milkers were on and I was standing there and walking back and forth, and all of a sudden, I heard that little voice. "Flowers for mama." Takes about an hour and 15, 20 minutes to milk the 65 cows. We got cleaned up, the parlor cleaned up, and I would find my little girl. I said, "Let's go back and get flowers." We got flowers, and we got more flowers. We got more flowers. We had a whole bouquet of flowers. That was a girl. You know what I did for the boys? "Let's go catch groundhogs. Let's go hunt." See the difference? God made him that way. It's for us to play in that game. To accept it. Take time for your children. They get out of your hands so fast. They just grow up. I don't know, look back, and now we got nothing but memories. They got their own children. And they're teaching them. Sometimes that just, my arms hurt. Just to hold them one more time. That's when the good memories were made. I see young families here, young children. Your life is before you. Enjoy every day. Every moment. Life goes so fast. You're so precious. I tell you what, God will not let us go. We brought them into this world. And we're responsible to teach them and spend time with them. You know, often I think, I know Martha heard this a lot of times, but I said, you know, I've talked to marriage-troubled families already and stuff, and I said, "Man, how did you get that lady, guys? How did you get her?" 99% of the time, it was only time. All they wanted to spend time. Did you have a $100 bill when you went on a date? No. Maybe you had a 10 or a 5. You stop at a dairy aisle. Don't have them here, but you got an ice cream cone or something like that. That's all they wanted. It's your time. Now we try to buy them off with things so we don't have to spend time with them. It's wrong. The same way you got them, you can keep them. I really believe that, guys. The same with your children. Memories are being made. Do not want a lot of games. You buy them games for them. It's why they don't know you. It's why they don't pay attention to you, because you buy them all the electronics. And that's where they spend their time. A lot of children are growing up in Christian homes, so they don't even know who their parents are. They bought a babysitter. I'm old fashioned, amen? That's how I feel, you know, how to look back. I'm not saying we did everything right, but I tell you what, the fun that we had, we did. We made it. We made it with the things that we had. But we knew each other. We cared for each other. It wasn't all perfect. I guarantee you that. I need to move on. It's time to close. Verse 30, it says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. The two shall be one flesh. That's 100%, not 50-50. When you look at a contract, there's two names on there. That's what always blessed me. Even the wife, my wife said one time she didn't want to change her name, so she married a hostetler, and she was a hostetler. She didn't want to change her last name. So I would come in handy that time. And but you know what? Most times, the ladies would change their name. The girls would change their last name because this young man has asked her to marry her for life. You think that over. You think it over. Guys, you better take care of her. You made her change her name. That's some serious stuff. She left her family's name for you. This is the verse that brought me to my senses, and what I talked about this morning, this is a great mystery. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, we have no record that he's ever been married. I believe that Jesus was given those words right in his mouth, and he spoke. What does Paul know about marriage? What does Paul know about raising children? What does Paul know about training children for him, for Christ? What does he know about it? He says it's a hidden truth. It's a mystery. But I'm speaking concerning Jesus and his church. Ain't that amazing? That gives chills running up my back. When I think about what old Paul taught us in his word and the words of Jesus. And he says on to finish it out. He says, nevertheless, let every one of you in the particular so love his wife. Wife as himself. Then it says, wife, see that you reverence your husband. I tell you what, folks, I really believe from the bottom of my heart, if we practice that, you're going to have a happy home. I really do. That is the recipe. Spend time in God's Word. Don't be afraid to say you're sorry. Somebody asked Roy Rogers. He was one of the world's champion cowboys. From way back, some of you remember his horse Trigger and his, I used to have a lunchbox, went to school with that little lunchbox with a Trigger, a Palomino horse, and a dog named was Bullet, was on my lunchbox. And later on I heard that there was a story about him. He was married, over 50 years. His first wife got killed. Then he married, Bill Evans. I think I'm right. Anyhow, somebody asked me, says, what's the secret of a long marriage like that? Especially in the movie world where he was at. He professed to be a Christian. He says, never be afraid to say you're sorry. That comes from the husbands. You make mistakes. Don't be afraid that you're sorry. Say it. Just simply say it to each other. You know, I'll try again. This morning, I'm going to ask you this morning, if you need prayer, let's just bow our heads. Let's, when we stand to our feet, and let's stand to our feet, and you just raise your hand, put it up, put it back down, and God will see your hand. If you need prayer, and if your home is under stress, and I'm the first one to raise my hand, I need God's help in our marriage and to be a faithful husband. Anyone else, just get your hands up that God can see it, and I'll pray for you. Look at that. May God bless you, all of you. May God bless you. Let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you saw these hands this morning, the honest hearts. You tell us if we confess our sins, you're faithful. You're just, and you will forgive us our sins, and you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you will also take our sins, our failures, and our faults. You will put it, and you will drown them out in the deepest sea, and you will not remember them against us anymore. You don't know what sins we're talking about from this moment on. Lord, I thank you and we love you for what you do for us and to set us free. Lord, I pray that you would bless this church and the husband, the wives, and the widows, and young people, and all the little children with your highest blessing. Protect them this summer. Watch over them. and give them time to spend time at home, and bless the parents that spend time with their children. Help them see the need and how precious these little jewels are. Lord, I just pray that you would be glorified today. And I thank you this morning for your precious blood. Thank you for buying us back from Satan's hands. We were born in sin. We followed Satan's schemes for a time. But we've been repented because of you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory and we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you have any more to share, Jerry? Okay, you're dismissed.